All right, so let's talk about another victory over the Sun, the show that's at the MCA now until the, I think it's the end of the summer. What did you think about the first piece? You really liked the...
The piece with the bridge and the moon.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. The water.
Yeah.
I actually really liked that piece. I thought that it it actually had a physical effect on me because, you know, I went in and I walked up on the platform and I looked at all the angles of the moon and the water, and you know, it was very interactive, which I think he was totally going for.
Mm-hmm. And I walked in and I said, hey, for somebody that has lived in Breckenridge for 10 years, this probably is a come down.
No, and I didn't agree with that because I read the information about the exhibit and why it was called Another Victory Over the Sun.
Yeah.
And I feel like that did that, you know, it did exactly what he was talking about.
It
was taking the architect, you know, creating. Well, that one kind of had that, where in the description they said it was like you have a campfire in nature and it creates a total space. And kind of that one did that one for me.
A space that's bigger than the physical sticks and twigs there.
Creates its own little.
So it's a victory over the nature because it's a more interesting environment than nature.
Not more interesting as interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not more interesting.
Okay, good.
I thought the next piece was incredibly powerful. It was, it literally, you know, after seeing monster movies your whole life and scary movies and that kind of thing, none of those did what that did to me. I mean, because I read about it and I knew when I walked in it was going to be supposedly scary, but in my mind it was like, ah, you're right. But then I walked in and it was pitch black, and you couldn't see what kind of space it was in at all, and before your eyes started adjusting, and the whole of the beast growling, and as long as you could see were the eyes and the teeth, and the beast growling was very scary, and then you didn't know if there were any other people in there, or if the walls were, you know, where the walls were, if you're going to walk into a wall and bust your nose, I mean, you know, so... It was really what he called that. What was it? The
Gato
Cerrado.
Mm-hmm.
So which makes you very suspicious of and fearful. And it did. It really did that. And I wouldn't have believed it. I really wouldn't have believed it until I went in there and experienced it. It was scary. And then when my eyes started adjusting, then I could see the walls, and I could see the space, and I could see there was nobody else in the space, and then it wasn't as scary, but what the initial reaction was, and when the cat, it's a black panther that he was
recording,
still, even when I knew what the space was, whenever the cat did the really big roar, it was like, bleh. It was scary.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's a reason that the cat makes that sound.
Yeah.
So then we went upstairs. And there was that beautiful Ansel Adams photograph on the wall.
That, of course, exhibit, you know, intrigued me. I purposely walked in there and didn't read the blurb of who the artist was or what she was trying to do, because I wanted to just see what it was all about. And my initial reaction was that the pieces that looked like pieces of architecture just kind of laying on the ground. And the movie of the Ansel Adams, you know, of the light
Chrysler building, I think it is.
Going through the Ansel
RCA
Adam,
building.
Yeah, were all of one piece. They were all, and it made it much more interesting to me when I found out that they were two different pieces. I was like, ew. Then that other piece wasn't so interesting at all, but the picture was still very interesting. Very beautiful, actually, but I felt that when you viewed the whole thing together, mm-hmm. it created more of a story. You know, and you could go anywhere with it in your head. I mean, anywhere. I mean, I went, like, five different places, you know?
Yeah, well, you were saying what it was a nuclear...
Yeah, you could see when the sun really started annihilating the image,
mm-hmm.
you could see that being, like, a nuclear holocaust, you know, and that now there were those pieces of that building laying in the rest of the room, and, you know, this was a whole different, like, time or consciousness after a nuclear holocaust. I mean, that went through my mind immediately. You know, and
mm-hmm.
so maybe I've been watching too much sci-fi, but it was it was definitely that. It had that kind of, you know, like something was annihilated.
Yeah. And the the actual image, the Ansel Adams image, is just a picture in a book or something. And she, what she was filming was how the sun reflected on the book throughout a day.
And actually, that image got, when I started studying it, going through all its light, became more of a like a drawing to me, and it was really beautiful.
It had a really good quality to it.
It had a really, really beautiful quality to it.
And just an everyday thing like that is just having a book on a table and watching the sun change on it. That's what an amazing little everyday
thing, and how many stories it can create.
Yeah.
Just that one thing happening.
She didn't have to blow it up really big for us to pay attention to it.
Well, and that's the other thing I said. It was monumental. It was on sort of monumental scale, and it was about a monument. You know, so that was pretty interesting.
Got our attention.
Wouldn't have worked if it weren't that monumental.
No, because how many times do you look at light going past a book every day?
You don't.
Sometimes you miss that kind of experience. And then we walked into the that narrow little gallery that had the movie set up. The guy carrying mirrors.
Oh, through. I loved that. I really did. I really loved that.
When did you come into the
it was
video?
Almost, I think, right before they were carrying the mirrors when I came in, because I was reading the blurb, and I think that it was very surrealistic, the way that she was going from frame to frame or, you know, place to place. Well, I came in when that one guy in the white hat was walking through the ruins. And that was a pretty cool image, you know, where she just followed him walking through an archway, kind of an archway, and it was very almost... what's that guy's name? Dali-esque. In that respect, because there were all these kind of things, you know, like almost different dimensions or something, you know, coming into the thing, and then she juxtaposed the big lush plantings. So that was, and that mirror thing was quite like that too, almost Dali-esque to me. I liked that piece a lot. You know, it made me want to visit down there.
Yeah,
it really did.
Also to Mexico City.
Yep.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see that that abandoned castle, or is that what they called it? Was it a castle?
Well, I think it's an art press sculpture park now. You can go see it.
It's okay, but I think it was built to be this guy's house.
Yeah, I don't know that much about it, but yeah, and now I know you can go up there and walk around. So it's not that far out of Mexico City, is it?
I don't think so. We could look it up. There were the keyholes, and this is like the Dali-est thing about it, is the arches were almost human. You know, they had that head and body separation.
They were.
Yeah.
So it was this, see, the thing was never finished, the building?
I think the building was never finished, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, the guy ran out of money. And so no one uses it. It's just abandoned.
It looks amazing. I mean, I really wanted to go see it.
Yeah. Have you ever played with mirrors like that? Any of your work?
No, I never have. No. Not at all. And I think it would be fun.
There was another work that dealt with mirrors that we looked at in the basement.
Oh, yeah. And then that one was confusing to me.
But the drying mud is much cleaner and simpler.
I enjoyed sitting on that sort of and looking into it and seeing the infinite space, the infinite mirror space, because, and that it was dark was pretty interesting too, because a lot of times you see that it was almost had a funhouse quality to it. It really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a funhouse in a. You really can let your mind wander when you look at a space like that. Through different... It really creates some questions.
Yeah, Duchamp really liked that idea of the infinite mirrors because it kind of denied that there was actual time and space.
Yeah, and you can see where that would seem like that, you know, because, I mean, you could go on forever. You know, you could be in that space, then you could be in that space, then you could be in that space, and they could all be different spaces.
So. Right, and it is... If there's a mirror of a mirror of a mirror, is that really an example of infinity? Because is there, once you set up the mirror inside the mirror, does it go on forever?
And you could even say, who's that person in the mirror? Which is you? Is that another you? in another dimension. I mean, look, I mean, it's pretty interesting. You could go on and on. You could get real dimensional with it.
The other piece that we haven't talked about is the one upstairs. The
Tom and Jerry one?
Yeah, well, there's that.
I didn't like that piece. Although, the only thing that I did like about it was that they said he likes to not do a whole lot of change to the space, but yet engage you. And the first thing you did was duck down and look into the mouse hole. So it really did physically engage your body and everything, you know, as well as your interest. But then
I never felt like
I didn't
get
the thing about somebody waiting on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
At all. I didn't get that.
Yeah, I think that it may not have been a totally effective piece.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was. I think it failed. Even when you're... I just didn't get that.
Yeah, it didn't.
I mean, the music was there. The Tom and Jerry music was there. But that didn't... It did nothing to create the effect that Jerry was waiting on, you know. And then it went into ultimate death.
Yeah, right away.
That you were ultimate, like...
From a cartoon. Yes. Saturday afternoon cartoon
to ultimate death.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
waiting
my
death,
goodness. Yeah. No, I don't think I'd go there.
But then there was another room that we've forgotten about that really is good. Some good stuff. Yeah, or an alternative view
Of
nature. Like something more interesting than nature, just by blurring the main image, using bold colors.
And a lot of wires.
And a lot of wires.
And the one on the back, the bird one, I loved. I really did. I thought it was really cool because it did kind of remind me of a forest.
Yeah, just the wires.
Vines,
yeah, the vines of,
like
of cable running from...
Yeah, but he did it sort of artistically,
which
I'm sure he did on purpose. I would assume he did.
Yeah.
And
to make it a forest.
Yeah. And it really did remind me of a forest.
And the layering of the forest... And obviously, he did a video of a bird on a stick, and that was on a flat plane.
And repeated it everywhere. Yeah. It was almost like they were little fairies on the trees, you know, in the forest. Or a little fairy forest. I don't know. But I thought that one was really effective. And the trees, the pink one with the ocean wasn't as effective to me.
Right.
Now, the trees were pretty effective, too. And then I do think the bugs, the insects were very effective.
Because they seemed to be just blurred. There wasn't anything that defined
them.
No,
and the way that they were positioned on the wall obviously had some kind of, should have had some kind of effect on us.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get it.
Well, there were more birds than bugs, and in reality there's more bugs than birds.
Yeah, well, that's true. A lot more.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The trees, you know, we were saying that the wires were put on there on purpose. You know, obviously you wouldn't just put wires on there for no reason. There's kind of a grid pattern in front of the sky and ocean one, and there's also a grid pattern in front
on
of the trees. Yeah. And to me, it was a way to help focus how much the trees were moving, to have a grid device like that. You know, when you put the grid up on InDesign or Adobe Photoshop, it helps you see what's lining up.
Right. No, that's true. Because it also kind of reminded me of the trees in the wind, the way, because a lot of times it would come into focus and then go blur out the focus more and come in and blur out.
So we're talking about depth of field.
Yep.
Yeah,
so he did pretty, that was kind of effective. But I don't know if he was trying to do that.
Well, and you know, so much of what we see now is everything is in focus. We buy programs to make our pictures all come into focus.
Right.
So that art becomes, you know, what is not in focus, and then what is in focus, so that there's a contrast, and you can really pick out what somebody's trying to say, what somebody's feeling is important. You know, the whole concept was that this is kind of an experiential work. It's another victory over the sun. It's not necessarily nature just being exciting, but it's art creating another reality that we can experience. That's a victory over just our natural experience.
Well, it also said that it had something to do with architecture. And what was it, architecture?
Yeah. Beyond, art is, you know, taking architecture to a notch beyond.
Right.
The architecture of this space.
Of the space that it was in, which I think the first one did with the bridge and the water and the... It in the moon, well, whatever, the light. Plus, somehow it's important that there was no natural light coming into any of those spaces.
Yeah.
And they were creating their own...
victory over the sun.
Yeah, victory over the sun.
But we can create an environment that's as interesting as, yeah, as nature created. Yes. And, you know, the surrealists that came out of this constructivism and all the people from 1913 that were into this, you know, creating this original victory of the sun, they were down on the intellectual art, the symbolists, and the painters before them, like the Fauvists, were more into intellectualization, even the Impressionists. How does light hit a subject?
Right.
It was really intellectualized. Right. And the Dadaists were about, you know, dumping all of that and saying, just know what's the experience. And instead of doing poetry that was just automatic writing, they took any subject matter out of the painting, complete abstraction.
Mm.
Malevich, that did the costumes and the set design, was complete geometric abstraction. No, nothing figurative. Nothing you could grab a hold of to tell the story. So, it was just about experience and almost intuition. So, do you think was this work? Did you need to intellectualize the work, or was it all like you? I think you used the word visceral.
It was. You know, a lot of it was visceral. For me, if you get a visceral reaction from a piece of art, I think it's successful. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been my kind of feeling. I don't care what the work is, if somebody gets a visceral reaction from it, then it's succeeded in some way or another.
So does some one piece work better than the other, than another? Like the piece that was chaotic downstairs in the basement was maybe not, I mean, you could try to understand it intellectually because there was this dream that, oh, here, I get it.
That piece was very hard for me to figure out because it was really chaotic looking.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first looked at it, I had no idea what was going on. I mean, I didn't read anything. I just walked in the door and saw it. And I actually thought it was somebody just set up a bunch of junk on a shelf unit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started, once you looked at it, and maybe that's what you wanted, you know, when you start seeing that, oh, indeed, it is a stream bed. And it has... You know, it had the grasses at the top, and it was the various levels of the stream going down.
But that is kind of an intellectualization. Where the other one, when we saw his other piece, which is the mud dry.
The dry mud.
Yeah. When you see it from the top, you just go, oh, wow, cool, mm-hmm. and neat patterns. I mean, that's a more...
But it did definitely look like dry mud, which it was. anybody who's seen a parched piece of land... knows mm-hmm. exactly what, being in the Southwest, you know, it's exactly what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was just such a complicated piece, and I couldn't quite figure out what he was doing.
Yeah, the one we don't even know what his name was. And I mean, I can intellectualize that he was trying to bring some light in from the roof to the basement, and I think it's a great idea, but unless you can really figure out how it works and interact with it.
So this is part of it? This right
yeah,
here?
Yeah, uh-huh. We're on the rooftop, and we can see this one mirror that's collecting some light. And I guess
and
there's
it's,
a
two. And it's, is it focusing down through that other piece, or is it through the mirror piece that it's focusing? Or reflecting? It's reflecting off the mirror piece. It's not collecting it and putting it somewhere.
Well, there's other mirrors throughout the building. Like, you can see it up the stairs,
right,
so it's
sending
it somewhere.
Yeah, I can't figure out what he's doing.
I think it maybe needs to be a little bit more obvious.
Maybe it got moved. Really, I'm serious.
Maybe they just pulled this whole thing up to here and said, oh,
no, maybe it got moved somehow, just a little. It would seem like it would have to be really precise.
Yeah.
Maybe at a certain time of day it's better. It's more effective than other times.
Well, we first saw it at night, and there was no little shadow there.
Okay.
So maybe this is kind of like eclipse thing.
I loved the exhibition.
Uh-huh.
You know, because... a lot of times I'll go into an exhibition, this is just my personal preference, and be bored. And I wasn't bored at all. I was engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but of course, like I said, this is personally my opinion, if you're engaged and you're then it's successful no matter what, even if it's a you want to puke or something, you know, it's still you're engaged by it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think art has to make you think or give you new thoughts for it to be worthwhile?
I don't.
Okay. It's good to just go, hey, it's cool how
I think it just has to be there and, you know, because what we were talking about the masses earlier, you know, I think it just has to kind of, like I said, engage you just to be effective. And if you can't explain that engagement or that visceral feel of it, then that's okay too.
Uh-huh.
But you can feel it, you know.
And so is this useful to the masses to have that art works like this, or are the masses never going to get it?
I think perhaps 95% of the masses wouldn't even come to see it. Maybe 99.5% of the masses.
So,
is why I feel about the masses.
So, if we go to the museums of contemporary art, does that elevate us out of the mass?
Absolutely. You know why? Because it puts you into a whole different headspace. It gives you somebody else's attitude or view of something that you would never have.
This is connecting with other people.
And so, absolutely gives us a total, anything that's experiential like that, I don't know, it just makes me really happy to see even the scary thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know, that guy could just conceive of that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. I mean, it's...
And then he made it and communicated it to you.
Yeah.
Made it something you could understand.
Now, the masses would understand his piece. Totally. And they might like it, too, actually.
So,
but I think that's because, you know, fear is so prevalent in society today, and that the masses relate to it.
But does it mean it needs that the whole museum to have the light blocked out? That's essential to that piece. Is that the
absolutely
darkness?
It has to be really, because that was pretty dark when I walked in, and the curtain was open a little bit, so that's why my eyes adjusted. If the curtain had been closed completely, it would have taken a lot longer for my eyes to adjust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would have walked out earlier. I mean, because at one point I was in there, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go now. I don't really need to do this anymore.
So if this was just a fun house at this carnival, would it have been as successful?
That's a good question, but no, it wouldn't have been. Because
mm-hmm.
this is in a big city contemporary art museum, you know? So it's a whole different thing. It's a whole different ball of wax. No, it would have been in the fun house. It would have still been scary, though.
In the
definitely
fun house. Yeah.
Yeah. But it would only have been a little part of the fun house. This is actually kind of, you're right, it's kind of an intellectual fun house, because the mud part had the mirrors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had the fear. Yeah, pretty interesting. It's kind of like a fun house.
Yeah. It's been like a fun house being here
like
today.
A fun house.
For intellectual people, yeah.
For artists. For
people
artistic,
that are...
people that have artistic sensibilities.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, if you... Right now, we are completely and totally erasing all artistic sensibility in the masses, the masses. Because we're taking out of all our education programs, we're taking art out of all our education programs, mm-hmm. we're taking, you know, anything that even smacks of creativity. It seems like to me that they're
mm-hmm.
all gone, and
mm-hmm.
it's just this kind of...
Yeah, how long will artists be able to hang on after the only people that have jobs are the financial?
No, I think they're erasing all creativity. It seems to me like they're erasing all creativity by the, this is a favorite subject of mine, but with the youth being in all those games and being playing games a certain amount of hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not even caring about going outside.
And all the drawings look the same, even if they're...
Exactly. All the graphics,
know,
all the drawings, everything. They're all
the Hulk
same.
Or Superman,
yep.
They all look the same.
And, you know, everything that they relate to has a very game-like feel, has a very graphic feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the things that are successful are very graphic art in this day and age. Any art that's pretty successful is pretty much graphic art.
like the Obama poster.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, his other more conceptual street art isn't as sexy. We don't know about it as much.
It's really interesting to me. It's like so much is happening because of what's happening to our youth. And because after we go, our generation goes, and a few after that, there's not going to be anything left of what's happening right now.
Well, maybe
it's going quicker than ever before.
Yeah, maybe we don't need art anymore. Maybe we have science and technology. We don't need art.
And maybe art is part of the magic.
Part of the magic. And if we don't have magic,
you just have science. And science is, I think science needs magic. It needs to be, have a balance. In fact, I know it. I'm really pretty positive about that. Because if you don't have the magic to balance the science, then it's like Big Brother. It becomes like Big Brother.
Right. And it's who's deciding what's art, even though we do trust the people at the Contemporary Art Museum here to judge for us that this is good. And
yeah, sort of. Yeah. I mean, I trust that, you know, whatever they do will definitely make me ponder a lot of subjects, which it has. I mean, come on, today we, mm-hmm. yeah, it really makes your mind go in a whole lot of different directions and create different questions. And see, that's the other thing. We're not questioning, the kids of these days don't question the kind of things that
yeah.
they should be questioning.
Like, should their lockers be searched at high school?
Yeah. Well, they probably question that big time.
I'm not sure they do. They just accept it. Most of them do.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. I think we all accept that the oil companies will get subsidies, and who cares about those people on Medicaid anyway?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm over 55, because they can't take it away. But those poor folks under 55 are going to get screwed. Big time.
So would you come back and see this again? Or have you already gotten it intellectually?
I think maybe, no, I wouldn't come back and see this one again, only because probably there weren't enough pieces to make me want to come back and absorb it. Like the one at the Denver Art Museum is huge. I mean,
yeah.
it had so many pieces, you couldn't
see all of them in one amount of time.
You couldn't take it all in. This mm-hmm. one you can take in one visit.
Mm-hmm.
I could.
Yeah.
I definitely could. There's nothing that I would want to come back and see here and observe. Well, except maybe the film with in Mexico.
Okay.
See a little more of that. But other than that, no, I think I got it.
So if it's a, does it have a problem that's much more of a, like a one-trick pony? Oh, got it. Okay.
Maybe, unless, you know, how long is it going to be up?
It's going to be up for, it started in June, and it's up through August, I'm sure, so at least 3 months. But I mean, what do you think about art that is that, it's that, you know, it's the one-liner kind of art? But should art be more complicated than that? And so what kind of victory over nature is a ball on a platform when,
yeah.
You know, the moon over a lake or the moon over anything is really something we can see a lot of, and every time we see it, it's different.
Oh, well, that's a good question, because, you know, there's not anything in there that would make me want to come back. So they were all pretty much one-shot wonders. And
yeah.
You're right. I mean, as an art museum, you probably want people to come back and see it.
Yeah.
And it was your second time, what do you think? Or was it your third time?
Second of, maybe third. I was here for the opening, and I did come the day that they were putting it together, and it was really interesting to see the mud actually applied. And so maybe that piece should have been created a little slower, and maybe he should even have spent the time to make the bookshelves full of crap. Maybe he should have just skipped that one.
I explained
this one a little more.
Yeah. Now that one, if we could figure that one out.
Yeah.
I mean, and it didn't explain that was in there, even in there.
Yeah.
You had to point it out.
Well, yeah, and I was there for the opening, and somebody had mentioned it, but still, at that time, at the opening, it was dark. It was night, so we couldn't see anything anyway.
Yeah. No, it's too complicated without, and reconfigure. Is it working?
Configured
out.
Yeah, there needs to be some more ways to look at it and get the answers. Because sometimes it's art to me is too much of self-expression when it's not explained thoroughly enough, so that somebody that really takes the time to understand it, if they can't understand it from taking a good amount of time to understand it, then there's something wrong with the piece to me.
True.